Good morning to all of you. Greet you all in the name of Emmanuel, God with us. I was inspired by that devotional this morning that we have a Savior, a God who wants to be present with us. Also, He's the one who, like we sang about, He shed His own blood for our souls so that we can say it is well. It's a blessing to be able to say, no matter what our lot is, that we can have it right, be right with God, and have it well, be well with our souls. I trust I'm in a gathering of those who are seeking, no matter what you're going through, to have it be well with your soul. Sermon title, we'll start with that this morning, is Realizing Potential for the Kingdom of God. It's not really inspired by much other than I've been thinking about potential and what it means in other areas of life. I simply decided to look at what the scripture says about potential and how do we realize potential in the kingdom of God. Potential is something that we say when we identify, or it's something we can see that could develop or become something actual or real. It's not yet realized, but it's potential. There's a possibility there. And if you take a moment to consider, we often recognize potential for good or bad in many things. But specifically this morning, I want to think about when it comes to our own lives and to people around us. If you think about a school-age child, and maybe they begin to show interest in vehicles or tools or building things or gardening or various things that child starts to show interest in, and we look at that child and say, he has potential. Maybe they are good at a subject in school, science, math, or what have you, and we wonder about their potential and where that will develop. And what will they grow up to be? And we recognize potential. We move further down in life, and a teenager who's beginning to show talent, maybe in teaching or working with people, or starts showing interest or becoming good at a certain trade. And we observe their interactions and the work they're doing, and we say he or she has a lot of potential. Maybe they become good at teaching or whatever trade it is, woodworking or landscaping. You have it. We identify potential. And maybe someone identifies the need for a product or service and starts a business to meet that need. And we say they've identified a potential and they're developing that potential into a reality. Now, there are also many times when we can see, we tend to see adversity or disadvantage or catastrophe instead of potential. And sometimes there's a tendency towards pessimism rather than optimism. Maybe it's the glass half empty instead of the glass half full mentality. And there's certain times in life when the ability to recognize potential for something wrong or bad is maybe a good thing, and it can help us take action to hopefully prevent that. But as we think about people in our own lives, as we observe people, and we maybe people in the church or neighbors around us, people in general, and in our own lives, there's times when the current circumstances in our life, or we observe something that someone's going through, or the choices they're making, and it doesn't seem like there's any potential for good. And it's possible we can observe that, and we just shake our heads, even in our own lives, and we say, what good is this? Or how will this lead to any good? And we fail to appreciate the potential that our own lives or that others around us have. So the question I have for us is, how do I recognize potential for good in my life and others around me? Now, if we turn to Scripture and ask this question, the theme of potential is woven through Jesus' teaching in the New Testament. If you look at the parables that Jesus gives us, He gives us the parable of the sower and the potential for that seed to become something and to grow into, to multiply greatly into possibly 100-fold or return 100 times if planted on the good ground. And He gives us a parable that has potential built into it. He speaks of being himself a vine and his followers the branches, and that if they simply abide in him, they can bring forth much fruit. He weaves in potential in this parable. He likens the kingdom of heaven to a mustard seed, something very small and tiny, yet when planted, it grows into the largest of plants, as big as a tree, and is shelter for the birds of heaven. And so again, he identifies potential. The theme of potential can be seen as Jesus lays out the Beatitudes and the way the new kingdom would, his kingdom would operate. There's potential. And so Jesus is the master and the example of recognizing potential. Jesus saw the potential for good in others. And I want to look at several examples. I have three examples I picked out. There's many more. Of when Jesus looked at a person or interacted with a person and identified potential. You can turn to John 1. We'll start there. We're going to read John 1, verses 37 through 42. And what's interesting about Jesus is he interacts with people and identifies potential in their lives. Many times it was in spite of flaws or deficiencies in that person's life. And Jesus, in his foreknowledge, could see the choices that person would make. And yet, in spite of that, sometimes he saw potential in their lives. John 1, verses 37 to 42. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. One of the two which heard him, John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is, by interpretation, a stone. Now, these verses focus on Peter, Jesus meeting Peter. And when he saw Peter, he responds and says, You are Simon, and thou shalt be called Cephas. And in that sentence is woven an underlying emphasis of Jesus identifying that Peter could become something. He would become a rock in the kingdom, a pillar in the kingdom. And later, Jesus says, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And he enlists Peter to help him. But he knew when he met Peter how impulsive and maybe a little unstable Peter could be. He knew that Peter would not many days hence would leap from a boat and begin walking on the water only to sink when he took his eyes off Jesus. He knew that Peter would be the one to suggest quite impulsively building three tabernacles on the Mount of Transfiguration. He knew that Peter would be the one, in defense of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, to draw his sword and cut off that high priest servant's ear. He knew that during his crucifixion, Peter would deny knowing him three times. And yet he saw a man before him with potential, and he identified it upon meeting him. We'll leave that story now. We'll come back to some of that in a bit. Turn over to Matthew chapter 9. We have the account of another man that Jesus meets. Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. And Jesus passed forth from thence, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So we have Jesus meeting Matthew, who is a publican, which is a tax collector, and he called him to be his disciple. He simply said, Follow me. Now, tax collectors were not liked among the Jews. They were essentially Jewish people that became representatives of the Roman government and collected taxes for the Roman Empire. And so they were not liked among their own people. They were viewed as sometimes traitors and extortioners and people not that were not liked. Yet Jesus, seeing this man sitting at the place where he collected taxes, saw in him potential and called him to follow. And later on, in several verses down, we see that he sees the potential, he saw the potential in the outcasts of society. Verse 10, he sat at meat, and many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him. And possibly it's because he called Matthew, one of their own, and showed that he was interested in him and saw potential in him. And these people came to him, and he spent time with them. And they questioned him about this. And Jesus' response in verses 12 and 13, we see the heart of Jesus in dealing with people. He says, "They that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. And I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And so in what seems like the unworthy and the outcast and the unlovely and the want and the needy, our Lord sees potential. He sees a place where he can make a difference. He sees a place where something can be turned to him and be useful. And so our Lord sees potential where others did not. For the third example, I want to turn to one more example, another story of a tax collector. Turn to Luke 19. I want to use this as our main text, Luke 19. We'll read verses 1 to 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost." And so we have the story of Zacchaeus, most famously probably known for the children's song that we sing about him. But Jesus here is traveling towards Jerusalem for his triumphal entry and eventual crucifixion, and he passes through the town of Jericho. Verse 1, we see that. And in this town lives a small man called Zacchaeus, who is first noted as being the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, the chief of publicans means he was most likely the head of a district and had other tax collectors working under him. He was most likely appointed by Rome to supervise the collection of taxes in that district. And according to a source I read, tax rates were fixed by Rome and a schedule of those was given to the chief tax collector. He was then free to increase the amount of taxes as much as he dared. And that amount went to pay the tax collectors under him as well as himself. Now, Jericho was a city on a route to Jerusalem, which I believe imports from neighboring countries possibly went through, and there could have been tolls and taxes that applied to that. And it's apparent that by being the chief and having tax collectors working under him and the current economic climate and position he found himself in, that the money flowed quite well into the coffer. And he was known to be rich. And yet he was despised by the people. We see in verse 7, he was considered to be a sinner. And according to some of the reading I did, most likely he was rejected from the social connections around him. He was despised because he had taken advantage of all his fellow countrymen. And he was considered to be an agent of Rome, and he was not liked, not wanted. It's possible he was even excommunicated from the synagogue, one source speculated. And so we have Zacchaeus, a chief man of power and of wealth, and yet he was hated. But we see this man, Zacchaeus, having a desire. Verse 3, he wanted to see who Jesus was. He had heard about this Jesus, and he had heard that he was coming. There was a multitude traveling with Jesus. If you look in the chapter before, there was a great multitude going with him, and I'm sure news traveled ahead of that. And he heard Jesus was coming. And he may have wanted simply to see what all the fuss was about and see what this man was who he had heard about. And so he proceeds to try and find a place where he could see him. But he had a problem. He was short. He was a small man. He was so short he couldn't see through the crowd. And I'm sure this crowd was a crowd of people who he had taxed quite heavily and had filled his back pocket off the taxes he had charged them. And they probably weren't too helpful in trying to create a spot for him to see Jesus coming through. But a man of not being stopped and solving problems, he found a tree and climbed it. And being small, I'm guessing that was easy for him to do. He got above the crowd where he could have a great view of Jesus passing by and most likely remain unnoticed and not need to tangle with this unfriendly group of people. Jesus comes along down the street and he reaches the place where Zacchaeus was. Now, most normal human beings probably wouldn't have noticed him, I'm guessing, and would have kept on going, but Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was there all along. He knew there was a man there that needed to meet him. And so he looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. Make haste, in fact, come down, because I'm coming to your house today." And so Jesus called out this man who was powerful, rich, and yet rejected. And said, "I want to spend time with you. I must come meet with you. I must abide at your house." And we see Zacchaeus responding quickly. He comes down and received him joyfully. Finally, someone who wasn't judging him or rejecting him. Finally, someone who showed interest in him. He came down joyfully. And Jesus saw potential in Zacchaeus when all the rest saw a greedy rich man that they despised and considered to be a sinner. Jesus saw a man in which he could make a difference. And Zacchaeus responds to that call to come down. Zacchaeus' life in meeting with Jesus is transformed, and his potential is realized through meeting the Master, through meeting Christ. And he acknowledges, verse 8, he acknowledges his responsibility, and his heart is transformed. And we see him turning from a man who is looking for ways to fill his back pocket to a man who says, "I care about other people. I see now that I must be responsible for those who lack. And if I've taken advantage of anyone, I must restore it." He acknowledges his responsibility for those around him, the need to make right things or make wrong things right. Instead of this heart of greed and power, he now cares about the people around him. And Jesus says, "Today salvation is come to this house." A difference had been made. Potential was beginning to turn into reality. Where Jesus saw through the want and the need and the deficiency of this man, and made a difference in his life. And I imagine there was probably a tax cut that year. And I would like to think the people accepted him back as an associate and a friend. And possibly the next Sabbath he showed up in the synagogue once again. We are not told that. But his life was transformed because Jesus saw potential and called Zacchaeus to a higher purpose. Jesus was a master at seeing potential in other people's lives in spite of what they were at the present time. And we could go through scripture. There's many other examples. When you look at Jesus interacting with people in light of him seeing potential in spite of what they were, we can think of the Samaritan woman who was outcast, and yet he made a difference in her life and spoke to her. Paul on the road to Damascus, who was bent on destroying the church and stamping out this new movement. And yet, Jesus saw potential in Paul to become a strong builder of the kingdom. And he intervened in Paul's life and called him to a greater work. And so we see Jesus identifying potential and calling it out, calling people to realize that potential in their lives. You and I should pattern after Jesus and be intentional about seeing potential in both ourselves and others. And as I read these stories and thought about this, there's four conclusions I came to. And I'll just go through these in light of these scriptures. And I call it, under this heading, I call it realizing potential. So what is Jesus doing here as he sees these people? How is he interacting with them? And what is it that unlocks that potential or enables those people to move beyond their current state and become something useful for God? 4 points. Number one, potential must be identified and recognized, and that's what we've been talking about. But for any potential to be developed into something actual or to be realized, it must be identified. So both in our lives and in other people, that happens in different ways. Sometimes other people see something in us and encourage us. Sometimes we discover an interest in something in our own lives and we pursue that. Sometimes there's a call from God himself through various ways to call us into a work or to a certain mission field, or maybe it's simply to witness to a neighbor or to a coworker, a family that needs to hear Jesus. But there's potential there that must be recognized, and we must realize it and identify it. And Jesus did this in the examples we looked at. In Peter, he saw how Peter, in spite of his impulsiveness and things he would do on his own, in his own will, how he'd become a strong man of faith and a builder of the church and an apostle. And in Matthew, he knew Matthew would be a faithful disciple despite being a despised tax collector, and how Matthew would eventually write the book of Matthew that we have that would carry the gospel story to many people. And in Zacchaeus, he saw a man whose heart could be changed and he would become a blessing to his community. Now, we don't have the ability to see the future choices of people or even our future circumstances of life like Jesus did. And yet we need to look beyond the faults, the disadvantages, the social status, and yes, even failures, and see the potential for good that is in our own hearts and in the people around us. And sometimes it's so difficult to do. We have a natural bent when considering our own lives and other people to see the negative and what's wrong and how they should be better. And maybe I'm just exposing myself and my heart. But our tendency is to look at other people that way. And yet we need to, as Jesus, look beyond those things and see potential for God's kingdom. You see, all men have potential when touched by the power of Jesus. He sees beyond the brokenness and the lostness of men and seeks to restore them to something useful. And we see that here in verse 10 of Luke 19. Jesus himself says, "The Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost." He's not coming to collect a beautiful collection of nice, shiny things that need no help. He came to look for the broken and the lost and to restore them and to seek to save them. And Jesus still has the power to see into the future of our lives and of those around us and see the potential that we have for his kingdom and that others have for his kingdom. And we need to learn to view our own selves and others through the lens of what they can be through Jesus Christ. And one of our missions as God's people here on earth, as his disciples and his followers, is to help people realize that they have potential for great good if they only accept the power of Jesus. If they only allow Jesus into their house. If they only sit down and catch the heart of the Master like Zacchaeus did, their lives can be transformed. And so potential needs to be realized and recognized for it to become something. Second, a call then aligns that potential to a purpose. See, Jesus gave all these men a call to action and a purpose for which to put their lives to. A purpose for that potential to be applied to. For Peter, it was a call to be a disciple. And Jesus stating very clearly that he had a purpose for him and that he identified that potential. For Matthew, it was simply a command, follow me. Follow me, come follow me. For Zacchaeus, it was a call to come down out of that tree and from his position of power and wealth and where he was at currently to come down and to meet me. And let me restore you. It was a call to restore what was wrong in Zacchaeus's life and what he had wronged other people. And Jesus is saying to Zacchaeus, I want to transform your life. I want to give you a heart of caring and ministering to others. And Jesus is still calling us today. He's calling us to be his disciples as Peter, to follow him like Matthew. And there are many, many things we can follow after. This world and the current country and culture we find us in gives us many things we can pursue after, many things we can follow. Social media uses that term, followers, followers. And I ask myself the question, you the question, are you following Jesus today? The call is to follow him. He's also calling us, like Zacchaeus, to come down out of the trees of our own self-will and self-righteousness. And to live a life in service for his kingdom and in blessing other people. And inside that general call, there is often an individual work he has for each one of us to do. Whether it's simply a lowly place of service that nobody notices. Whether it's a mother in a home. Whether it's a dad in the home as well, and the work we do day in, day out to be a light and a witness and to raise children for Christ. And that's a work that we're called to do. School teaching, ministry, reaching out to others, and on the list goes. He has an individual call for each one of us and a work that he wants us to do. And so a call from God aligns that potential to a purpose. Number three, responding to the call activates the potential and starts the process of that potential becoming reality. So Jesus calls us, and the call still goes out today, but it's our responsibility to respond to that call. You see, Peter, he actually needed to leave his occupation and become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And Matthew had to get away from that tax collecting table and follow after Jesus and go to where he was going. And Zacchaeus, he actually needed to climb down out of that tree and open up his house and let Jesus come in. And so you and I must respond to the call of Christ if we are to realize our potential in the kingdom. And the first call is to salvation and to have our hearts cleansed by the blood and to be made, restore our relationship with Christ. And then that call goes from there and into a greater work and into the things he would have us to do, to follow after him, to obey his commandments. And to live in the place and the time he has called you to. And so it's our job to respond to that call. It would have done no good if Zacchaeus would have said, I'm going to stay up in this tree. It was nice meeting you. But he had to respond. He had to do something. We need to respond to the call. And fourthly, following the will of the master enables potential to become reality. Responding is only the first step. Climbing down out of that tree was part of the process. Opening up his house and inviting Jesus in, letting him come in, was only the first step. He had to respond and do what he was convicted to do. These men needed to act according to the will of Jesus for their potential to become reality. Peter and Matthew went with Jesus and served alongside him while he was here. And after Jesus' death, they received the Holy Ghost and were empowered to take up the work of spreading the gospel. They had to do something. They had to follow the will of the master. Zacchaeus needed to realize his error, and then he actually had to go out and give away half of his goods. He had to go down to the streets where the poor were and actually do that for his potential to become reality. And he had to restore. He had to go back in his records and look who he had wronged and taken too much from, and go back to that person and say, I took too much from you. Here's fourfold. I'm restoring it. He actually had to do that for his potential to become reality. And so it is no different for you and I today. We must live the commands of Jesus in our homes, our churches, and communities. Not only do we have to crawl down out of that tree, but we actually have to turn around and do something different. We must daily take up the cross and follow the commands of Jesus if our potential for the kingdom is to be realized. And in relating to others, we need to seek the potential in others and guide them to Jesus, who can transform their life and have their potential realized for the kingdom of God. And so it's my heart, as we looked at this message and looked at this idea of potential, that we can see that Jesus, our master, was the perfect example of recognizing potential in people's lives. And that we can somehow, like him, as we deal with people, with one another here in this congregation, and collectively as a group, that we can realize that potential, but that we can call others. Yes, maybe their lives seem to be full of trouble, heartache, failure, and maybe even walking away from God. But in each and every human being, there is potential for the kingdom of God. And we need to call people and help them see that Christ is calling them to realize their potential for the kingdom of God. And so we can define potential this way. Potential is how far you can go, not alone, but with God. And as I look at the people here that are gathered here, and through the example that Jesus left us, view each one of you, there's enormous potential here for the good in the kingdom of God. Let's seek to find that potential and to call that out in other people's lives. May God bless you as you do that. Let's pray.